So, one of the most memorable parts of a whole Joppa retreat is the sharing of what your experiences were, at least for me. So, the program will go like this. Breakfast is at 8:30. So working back, just a little, some comments. Take this experience home with you, kind of comments. Then some sharing until breakfast at 8:30. And then at 9 o'clock, kirtan for 15 minutes. So whatever you're doing, be here by latest 9:15. Then we'll have sankalpa ceremony from 9:15 until it's over, maybe 10 o'clock. And then clean up, and then we're out of here. That's the schedule. So don't miss breakfast at 8:30, and come back after breakfast so we can wrap up our program here. Nice space here, huh? I hope it got used to our being here, because we got used to its being here, especially in the rain. Wasn't planned, but that's what Krishna arranged. And so one of the nice things about what Krishna arranged was we were all forced to stay inside. And there wasn't even room to move around much. We just had to sit inside and hear the holy name together. One thought on what we just did is better to call what we just did a Joppa workshop, because a Joppa retreat is far more extensive preparation and participation. But, you know, everybody is busy, so we didn't have an extended one. We had a compact one. It's the experience is different when it's more extended. Not to diminish what we just did, but it's what we just did is amplified. We spent more extended time together, focused on chanting. I thought I would read a little bit from Chaitanya Charitamrita, a little inspirational message. From Madhya Lila, chapter 15, this is, the context is, the devotees would come to Puri to participate in Rath Yatra, and then, of course, to stay with Lord Chaitanya for the rainy season, and then Lord Chaitanya is seeing the devotees off as they return to their respective places. And Kulina Gram is one of the places, and one of the leading personalities of Kulina Gram, and spokesperson, the elder amongst them, children. Stop being children, grow up, will you? If they continue to chatter, you know what to do, right? Good. Guess what they're going to do? Children will be children. No, it doesn't work. Not her, anyway. Hare Krishna. Okay. So, the residents of Kalina Gram. How about this? Take turns. One of you go and take, you know, the caboodle. Go somewhere with the caboodle, and then someone can relieve that somebody, and you can take turns. Something like that. Hare Krishna. So, Satyaraj Khan is the spokesperson. And they are discussing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Satyaraj Khan says, "My dear Lord, being a householder, and a materialistic man. I do not know the process of advancing in spiritual life. I therefore submit myself unto your lotus feet and request you to give me orders. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, without cessation, not just at a japa retreat, without cessation, continue chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna whenever possible. Serve him and his devotees, the Vaishnavas. So, if you happen to be in the category of a householder, then you just heard Lord Chaitanya's instructions. Upon hearing this, Satyaraj said, "How can I recognize a Vaishnava? Please let me know what a Vaishnava is. What are his common symptoms?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being." That's a very liberal definition of a Vaishnava. In successive years, Satyaraj Khan asks the same question. It starts from, you know, Kanishtha to Madhyama to Uttama. But this is the, you know, very broad and liberal definition. But the glory is what helps one go from Kanishtha to Madhyama to Uttama, is the chanting of the holy name. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur says, this is purport, that a person who simply chants the holy name of Krishna once becomes perfect and should be regarded as a Vaishnava. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Upadesha Amrita, Krishneti Yasya Giritam Manasadriyeta. With such faith in the holy name, one may begin a life of Krishna consciousness. But an ordinary person cannot chant the holy name of Krishna with such faith. One should accept the holy name of Krishna to be identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transcendence himself. As the Padma Purana states, the holy name of Krishna is identical with Krishna and is a chintamani gem, a touchstone. The name of Krishna personified in sound. The name is Krishna personified in sound and is therefore perfectly transcendental and eternally liberated from material contamination. One should understand that the name Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Having such faith, one must continue to chant the holy name, etc. Long purport. Mahaprabhu continues, "Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna once, a person is relieved from all the reactions of a sinful life. One can complete the 9 processes of devotional service simply by chanting the holy name." So, there's so many verses, just like the nice stanzas that were sung last night. That was a very nice presentation. Were glorifications of the holy name. I mean, there's so many in our Vaishnava literature. And we spent some time together. Increasing our chanting and absorbing ourselves more in chanting, trying at least. And the little session that we're doing right now is from that experience, what would you like to take with you? You had a session yesterday where you wrote some things down to fresh after that experience. So any teacher or guide or well-wisher, just like, you know, those of you that have children, the things that you wish to pass on to your children, it's very satisfying to see that they're taking that something that you offer and they're continuing to apply it or use it or live their life by it. So same here, for your own benefit as well. How to take this nice experience with you. So there's a nice verse in Bhagavad Gita chapter 8 that speaks to this point. Abhyasa yoga yuktena cetasa nanya gavino parama purusham divyam yati pari partha nuchintayan. Here's Prabhupada speaking about this in a morning walk in San Francisco. Yes, practically everything depends on practice. Abhyasa, yoga, yuktena, cetasa, nanya, gamina. Abhyasa, yoga. Abhyasa, yoga means practice. Practice it. So this whole Krishna consciousness movement is to practice. Transferring from one kind of consciousness to another. So we require practice. Just like one man can run a few miles. I cannot even run 1 mile. He has practiced. We see some boys. They run. Run on. They practice. Practice it. Strength of the heart. Increasing by practice. And if I run, my heart will be palpitating because I have no practice. So by practice, everything will be attained. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Determination. It goes on. One of the Japa retreats that I attended, Ravindra Sruprabhu gave a whole class just on that phrase, abhyasa. Practice. I'm sure for many persons here, I've spoken with a few, that, well, let's just do a quick show of hands. How many here numerically had their first, however many rounds you chanted, in the course of this retreat? So, it's not that tomorrow you wake up in the morning and, okay, 64 rounds. It was really enlivening. I want that experience again. What to speak of the sangha of the devotees and the focus and the energy and the attention. And it's like a jump start or priming the pump or something to an energizer to help us go further. But those principles that we applied yesterday are principles that you can apply every day. One of the most important ingredients in improving your chanting is the desire to do so. And then you can connect that desire to do so with this technique or that, you know, that effort, something, something. The critical thing is the desire to do so. Or, in Rupa Goswami's language, he amplifies that. It's intense desire. Or even uses the word lolium. The meaning of the word lolium isn't something that's attractive in the material world. It's not a nice quality. It's greed. Greed. People that are greedy are not nice people to be around. Rupa Goswami says, be greedy for Krishna. So desire is very strong. And if you remember from, to just covering a couple of points that were highlighted previously. That little mathematical formula, humility plus need equals namashraya. That need is a need for mercy, because on my own effort, not just because I'm humble, it's reality. My effort is insufficient. From where I am to go to where I want to be, my effort alone is not sufficient. Try it. It's not sufficient. Try to be sincere. Try to be humble. Try to be an unalloyed devotee. Try for something. In spiritual life, the realization is, it's insufficient. I'm very tiny. But the Supreme is not very tiny, and the Supreme is very merciful. I need His mercy. So, again to repeat, calamities sometimes wake us up out of our slumber, and our desire to take shelter amplifies a lot until the danger passes, and then it's complacency again. I had this experience in New York after 9/11. Everybody got really religious. I wasn't there, I was traveling. But I was told by the devotees, on every corner where people, you know, the pedestrians had to stop for walk, crossing the street, this little, you know, don't walk, walk thing. They had little shrines set up where they had to stop and they would pray. And then, you know, the Buddhists would put something, and the Muslims would put something, and the Christians would put something, and they were sharing that little shrine, and they would pray. And because the lower part of Manhattan was blocked off because of, you know, the debris and so on, so you couldn't walk below Houston Street unless you showed you had a car that you lived there. So everything was above Houston Street. Just above Houston Street is where the numbers start. So at 14th Street, Union Square Park, that became like the spiritual place. And every day, throughout the day, people would go there and sing songs, you know, spiritual songs, and pray, and Sufis, and this, and that, and the others. So after, we were trying to be very calm about it, careful to not like ruffle anybody's sensibilities. So one devotee went, Chandrasekhar Swami, and with harmonium, no amplification, just sat there and chanted very softly. And he said people would gather around him, a sign that, you know, said certain very simple, innocuous things about shelter, spiritual counseling, one wanted from that. Because the city was in a state of shock. Everyone was religious. So after a month, we went and had a little Harinam party. About 15 devotees, we sat down, no standing, no like, just very sedate. And a crowd of several hundred people came around. People were crying and crying. People in business suits were sitting next to the devotees. A fashion model went and sat next to the ladies. Just, you know, sat and chanted and chanted. Didn't last long. After some time, it was complacency again. You know, we're New Yorkers. We're not afraid of anything. So let us not make things such that Krishna provides us a calamity so we get out of complacency. That can happen. But better that intensity of wanting to take shelter is because we want to take shelter. Because we want a relationship with Krishna. And it's that desire that what we know and where we're at presently, wanting to close the gap, move. So there's a let go of some things and accept some other things. This is the process of surrender. Anukalyasya sankalpa, pratikalyasya varjana. Things that are favorable, accept. Things that are unfavorable, let go. Let go. you know, there's some things we can easily let go, and then there's our favorite things that we don't want to let go. And so we don't go forward. It's not so much things or, you know, something external, it's something internal. You know, the spirit of wanting to be the enjoyer, wanting to be the master, wanting to be the controller and the Lord. That spirit that brought us here to the material world to begin with. We don't want to let go. Let go. And in that humble mood, strive to improve your chanting and abhyasa. Continue to practice. And it's not happening. Maybe a little bit, but generally it's not happening. So the wrong thing to do is become frustrated and become complacent again. The right thing to do is call for mercy. We read this in the afternoon, those that weren't there. A very nice description by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur from the prayers by the personified Vedas. This commentary from there. The Lord sees his devotee trying to fix his mind upon him because he instructed. And then the Lord considers, my dear devotee, he's trying very hard, but the mind is material. And there's no way that the mind can reach me. Nothing material can reach me. I'm beyond the material elements. But he's trying. So let me help him. He goes on and says, so the Lord sees the mind to be like a lake. And he makes waves in the lake so that those waves can touch the soul. And the soul is now in contact with the Supreme Lord by his mercy. He doesn't elaborate on that, you know, the waves in the lake. Just helps to bring the mind to the position where it becomes spiritualized. Because something material, in service to Krishna, becomes spiritualized. But it's from the other side. It's not something that we do. There's something that we need to do. But there's this appeal for mercy. And practice, just like Prabhupada is saying here. The whole Krishna consciousness movement is to practice transferring from one kind of consciousness to another. So we require practice. So this is the take-home message that I wanted to share. Capture as best you can, just as you were a little exercise. It's not just like, you know, write something in your notebook and close your notebook and you forget it. That's not going to help you. Take it with you. Whatever that message is, or inspiration, or something, and our closing little event is sankalpa, and it's not just a little, like a nice ritual, because it's nice to end things with a little ritual. It's important to, between yourself and Krishna, make some commitment to whatever that sankalpa is. So it brings that focus instead of our splayed out or complacent energy, intensified and focused energy. Many of you know Vaisheshika Prabhu. So one of his phrases, if you've had attended one of his seminars, you've heard it before, where attention goes, energy flows. That's something that I learned during that year that I was the GBC chairman. I didn't, you know, imagine having that service. Like, you're the responsible for the affairs of the whole International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The buck stops here, guy. Besides, it's a really busy time. How to best utilize that opportunity for service? So what I did was I thought, what's important? Let me put attention where things are important. And where attention goes, energy flows. And so all kinds of things started happening that wasn't anything to do with what I did. It had to do with this reciprocation from Krishna. Oh, he's trying. It's not possible. He's so tiny and so puny, but he's trying. So let me help him. That's what happened. And that's a life in devotion. So one last thing I'd like to express, particularly our devotees in the Seattle temple community, under the inspiration of Hari Vilas, the volume of preaching efforts that the Seattle congregation and temple is engaged in is, I don't know what the right word is, how to finish the sentence. It's astounding. Some of you say, it's too much. We have to take care of our families. We have to take care of our sadhana. We have to read Prabhupada's books. Where's the time for those things? There was so much preaching. And then, you know, then the next thing is, wow, with all this preaching, there's so much growth. Now we have to manage all this stuff, this growth. We have to train all these people. Because if you don't train all those people, you just created a monster. There's some places where that's what goes on. They don't train people and they just have a monster. Okay, so the message that I wanted to do, along with this abhyasa, or practice, is this message from Shukadeva Goswami that I read yesterday and repeated again. The chapter 3 from 6th canto, towards the end of the chapter, he's summarizing those first three chapters about the Holy Name. And he says to Maharaj Pariksit, of all auspicious things, the most auspicious thing in the entire universe is the chanting of the Holy Name. Please understand this very carefully, he says to Maharaj Pariksit, so that you can convince others of the same. So, back to preaching. You know, there's so many opportunities for contact that are being created. Very, very creative. Maybe too creative. Creative ways to bring Krishna consciousness and people in contact with one another. But the impact that's going to happen, the positive impact is where there's purity inside, where there's spiritual strength, spiritual potency. Something that I can share from my experience yesterday, and then we'll go into sharing. Two parts. Something that I learned about the Japa retreats is eat very little. Because my experience in all the Japa retreats I've taken part so far is, up until breakfast, it's like blast off. And after breakfast, it's a crash landing. At least for me. Maybe because my digestion isn't so strong and eat something. So that's what happened yesterday. And it wasn't like I wasn't in a tailspin, but I, you know, wasn't flying either. So I wanted to do where attention goes, energy flows. So I took that Maha Mantra sign off the board, off the wall there, put it right here. And I followed something that we didn't do here. Explain, but I'll explain it now. Trataka exercise, which is a bona fide Vaishnava practice where your eye follows the name as you say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like that, the whole mantra. So as I was doing that, it did what it was supposed to do and more. What it's supposed to do is focus your attention on the name. And it worked. It was a little mechanical at first, but my attention wasn't like, you know, mush. It was focused. And then Krishna saw that I was trying, and Krishna said, he's trying, let me help him. And then the meaning, Krishna, became prominent along with the sound. The sound, Krishna, is Krishna, and Krishna is all attractive. So it was, there was a prayer coming strongly and strongly, and you know, it just expanded. Instead of Krishna, please accept me, it was Krishna, please attract me to you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It was profound. And then Hare Rama. The meaning that came with Rama was Balaram, the source of all spiritual strength. To go forward, I need spiritual strength. Hare Rama, please be merciful and give me the spiritual strength I need to go to you. And I started chanting louder, and I realized maybe I'm disturbing everybody because I'm chanting so loud. But it just happened. I didn't plan it out, and sure enough, it happened. It happened. Krishna is merciful when he sees that we try. By this means, that means, any means, behind an effort is a sincere desire to connect with Krishna, be present with Krishna, be with Krishna. Krishna, please take me to you because on my own, I don't have the capacity. Practice. So, with that, last part is this consideration. I was thinking about that encouragement that Shukadeva Goswami gave to Maharaj Parikshit. Please understand this very carefully so that you can convince others of the same. So what's important in our lives as Vaishnavas, Lord Chaitanya gave these two things. Chant the holy name and serve the Supreme Lord and his devotees whenever possible. So when we're serving the other devotees, the best way we can serve other devotees is to connect them with Krishna. But how can we connect them with Krishna if we're not connected with Krishna? And the more intensely we're connected with Krishna, the more we can connect them with Krishna. So the image of the iron rod put in the fire, in Prabhupada's statement, it gets warmer, hotter, it becomes red hot. So much so the iron rod can touch something and burn, although it's just iron rod. So we're like that with the iron rod. And through chanting with some intensity, we'll go back to the preaching. So many outreach things that are going on. How to be effective? Chant nicely. Chant with absorption. And whatever contact you have with others, whether it's in the preaching field or in your home or in the workplace or wherever you are, wherever Krishna sends you, if you're absorbed, if you've been chanting very nicely, you can help spiritualize the world more effectively. You become a better servant in the transcendental sense. Each one of us. So what to speak of collectively? What an impact. So while our lives are busy, and what to speak on top of our lives are busy, we have all these things that are requiring our time and attention for the temple and the preaching and this and that and our families and this and that. To be effective, the chanting can't be neglected. Or say it the other way. To be effective, the chanting must be performed very nicely. And then you can be effective. Transcendentally effective, as well as the other kind. You know, with competency, you can do things. Because behind it is Krishna. Krishna Shakti. Our access to that, most effective, most important, is the chanting of the holy name. So, with whatever your sankalpa is, focus that desire to improve in your chanting through the lens of that sankalpa. And practice it, cultivate it, take it with you. And as Prabhupada is continuing here, this was his intention of changing the world. Now what do we do about, the oil spill in the Gulf? What can you do? And, you know, go down the long list. What can we do? Become part of a cause? Oh, don't do this and don't do that. What can we do? The most, I assert, according to the teachings of the scriptures, the most effective thing that we can do is chant purely. And then whatever it is that we do, have some impact upon the world. The people around us and the people that are distant. Mahaprabhu's system. Okay, I've taken far more time than I had intended. So, one of the best parts of the whole retreat is sharing. So, we can have somebody with the microphone ready to take the microphone around. I think one of the two persons I want to call on right away, because you just happened to hear from them what their experience was. Sachi chanted 64 rounds. Can you share with us what your experience was yesterday with chanting 64 rounds? How did that, what inspired you, or how did it happen?
I used to chant 32 rounds,
yeah.
And then I had more time, so I chanted 32 more.
How old are you?